Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day from Movement. Whether your mom is into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, everything at Movement is up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale. A watch is a gift that celebrates all the time you spent with mom. And a Movement watch is even more than that. Movement uses industry-leading materials for their fresh modern watch designs, from technically complex ceramics to vintage-inspired style, all for an incredible value your wrist and wallet will both love. And with one-size-fits-all convenience and fast free shipping and returns, it's a stress-free shopping experience. Save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with Movement. Get up to 50% off site-wide during their Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
All right, next one is number 4. What fruit would you say is about the size your uterus, not the baby, your uterus is at the end of the first trimester?
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the knowledge and confidence you need to erase the unknowns of pregnancy and birth and rock the newborn days like a boss. My name is Liesl Teen. I'm a fellow mom, labor and delivery nurse, and your host. Each week on this podcast, you'll hear a mix of birth stories, expert interviews, and other fun pregnancy and birth-related content. As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Please see mommylabornurse.com/disclaimer for more details. And now let's get into this week's episode. Happy Monday, guys, and happy Valentine's Day, and happy day after Walter's birthday. Yeah, so yesterday was his 5th birthday, which is just so nuts to me that I now have a 5-year-old. So crazy. We had a fun little superhero themed family party for him this weekend on Saturday, featuring a Batman cake made by my mother-in-law. It was so cute. Everyone wore either superhero attire or dressed up as their favorite superhero. Walter loved it so much. Walter was Batman. Brian and I both wore Bat Mom and Bat Dad shirts that I got on Amazon. And then, of course, Rai was Robin. It was so much fun. So this week on the podcast, I have a short little fun episode featuring my sister, Jenna. I wanted to keep it lighthearted and short this week, so I just quizzed her on some fun pregnancy trivia, and it turned out to be way harder than I thought it was going to be. I think she only got like 2 right. So I invite you to play along at home too to see if you can beat her score. So let's dive right in. I've seen it in the delivery room time and time again. Mamas that complete some kind of childbirth education before they're due have a more positive birth. So then why do less than 1/3 of all moms take a birth class? Probably because so many of the options out there are either way too expensive, super inconvenient, or just don't offer mamas really what they need. That's why I created the Birth It Up online birthing classes. With Birth It Up, you'll gain the in-depth knowledge and confidence you need to have a better birth from the comfort of your own home at a price point that can't be beat. Head on over to mommylabornurse.com/courses to find the birth class that's right for you. And now let's get into this week's episode.
Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Yes, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. How many episodes have you been on with me now? You haven't been on an episode in a while, but What is this? 3, 4, 5, something like that episodes.
Yeah, something like that. I was on your podcasts when you talked about your birth and Stuff like that. So probably about a year ago, I was last on.
Yeah, I think so. It has been that long. And then you were on the one with mom. That was about a year ago.
Right.
So yeah, for those of you who are new here, new listeners, and you know, just kind of found us and didn't listen to those previous episodes that Jenna was on, Jenna, can you introduce yourself to everyone and tell everybody who you are?
Yes. Hello. My name is Jenna. I am Liesl's little sister, probably about It's about a 7-year difference between us. And I also work for Liesl, have been for about 3 years now. And I also take care of Liesl's kids a little bit during the week as well. So yes. I'm around a lot.
Yes, she is. She wears a lot of hats and is very, 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 very important role in mommy labor nurse and in Liesl's life. So yeah. So I thought we would just do a lighthearted episode today. I've done just a big variety of episodes where I do Q&As or I deep dive into a certain subject or I'll have guests on or we'll do birth stories, but we haven't done just like a fun, lighthearted episode in a while. So I figured I would just look up a bunch of birth stats. A lot of them are number stats, and I just want to quiz you and see, how well you can do with some of these numbers and see how many you can get correct. So a lot of this stuff is from a Healthline article. I think a few of them are from the CDC, but there's like 30 of them. So we can just go through. I want to see a lot of these I couldn't have guessed. So.
Oh, geez. All right, let's do this.
It's nothing like crazy. Like I'm not going to be asking you how to spell some crazy long name or anything. So it's a lot. You'll see. It's a lot of like number guessing. So, all right. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So the first question is, how many days do you think is the longest recorded pregnancy that's ever been documented?
Days of pregnancy.
Yeah.
All right. So typical is 9 months. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I am making you do a little math.
Yeah, it's like how many days are in 9 months? I don't even know.
9 times 30 or 31.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with, let's see. Oh, gosh.
Okay. So like what's 9 times 3?
27.
Okay. So add a zero to that.
Yep. Okay.
270. So that's like about 9 months.
Okay.
So what's the longest one you think?
Let's just do 300.
That's a good guess, but it's actually 375.
Whoa.
Yeah. And apparently this is true. I really can't believe that somebody went that long, but it says, according to a 1945 entry in Time magazine, a woman named, I now can't pronounce her name, Balua Hunter gave birth in Los Angeles nearly 100 days after the average 280-day pregnancy, which is so crazy to believe, but who knows? Typically,
I know.
Typically, most people deliver, around that 40-week mark, but I was thinking what you said. I was thinking it was going to be around 300 because that seems, like 43 or 44 or 45 weeks, but I don't know. This source says it happened in 1945.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if it was like a healthy birth. Like, did
no
she have
idea.
An infection or something?
Wow. I mean, I can't imagine she like wouldn't have something going on, right? Yeah.
Right.
Crazy. All right. Next question, number two, is how old or what is the shortest recorded pregnancy where the baby survived? At what week would you say is the earliest that a baby survived? And you probably, do you know what week is like considered viable?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Sort of. So I'm going to guess probably, maybe early second trimester. So maybe around like 17 weeks.
No, unfortunately that is much, much too early. So viability is at about 23, 24 weeks. We're seeing more babies that are being born at 23 weeks and doing relatively okay. Mm-hmm. But the shortest recorded pregnancy where the infant survived was just 22 weeks. So just a week before that, the baby had a number of complications, but they did survive. And then this source does say, but I'm not sure of this one, but this source does say an even younger baby was recently born at 21 weeks and 4 days, which is close to 22 weeks, but 22 weeks and 0 days is the earliest that a baby has been born and survived.
Wow. That's a tiny baby.
It's a very, very tiny baby. Yes. Wow. All right. Next question is, how old do you think the oldest recorded woman to have a baby was?
Ooh. Let's see. I'm going to guess like maybe in her 60s. So maybe like 63.
Oh, you're so close. 66. It says 66.
I was going to say 65.
Which is crazy that, yeah, she's not, you know, not, I mean, some people go into menopause really, really late. But yeah, 66 right. years old.
Wow.
Crazy yeah. to think.
Seriously.
All right. Yeah. All right. Next one is number four. What fruit would you say is about the size your uterus, not the baby, your uterus is at the end of the first trimester? It's a fruit.
Oh, gosh. I have no idea. let's see here. I don't even know what a normal size uterus size is. Let's go with a papaya.
That's a very okay. No, that's not the right answer. A very specific, very random answer. Yeah. No, it's not a papaya. It's an orange.
Oh, okay.
And at the end of the first trimester, which is about 13 weeks. At about 13 weeks, the baby is about a size of a lime, but your uterus is about the size of an orange. And to answer your first question, we were talking about, I don't even know what a pre-pregnancy uterus, how big it is. It's about the size of your fist, maybe a little bit smaller than your fist. So if you know, put up your fist, that's about the size of a pre-pregnancy uterus. And the baby's really, really tiny in the first trimester. So it doesn't do a whole lot of growth at first, but by that end of that first trimester, it is about the size of an orange. Bonus question. What fruit do you think by the end at 40 weeks, how big it is? Like what fruit do you think that is?
The uterus, like mm-hmm. what fruit the uterus is?
Yeah. It's a
watermelon.
Yeah. Good job. Good job. All right. Next question. I think this is number five, maybe. What week do moms start producing breast milk during their pregnancy?
Ooh, like typically mm-hmm. what week?
Mm-hmm. Or I mean, all of them do, but typically.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's say 27 weeks.
No, you're very off. It's actually 14 weeks, if you can believe
Holy
that or
moly.
Not. Yeah. If wow. you can believe that or not, it starts very, very early. You start, your milk ducts start kind of turning on and you can even leak some colostrum at that early stage at that week. A lot of moms have breast milk colostrum leakage during pregnancy. It's very common and it's very odd because you're like, wait a second, there's no baby to feed and why are my boobs leaking? But yeah, it starts very, very early on in pregnancy, right after that first trimester.
Okay. They're just getting warmed up, I guess.
They're just getting warmed up. That's right.
All right. The sound of that baby crying means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. All right. This one says, Birth It Up Baby! Exclamation point. My first was born at 12/18 at 8 pounds, 15 ounces. That's quite a big little baby. My water broke at 11 p.m. at home and contractions started at midnight. Checked into the hospital at 3 a.m. with painful contractions, but only 2 centimeters dilated. By 8 a.m., contractions were coming very strong with barely any breaks between, so we got an epidural and I was only 4 centimeters dilated. Stayed at 4 to 5 centimeters dilated from 8 a.m. to almost midnight. That is quite a long time. Epidural one-sided for a lot of the night, feeling contractions in my hips. Started Pitocin and very slowly progressed to 8 centimeters and felt almost every contraction from 2 to 4 a.m. with strong pressure and the urge to push. Finally hit 9.5 centimeters at 4 a.m. and started to push, but baby was OT or PT, basically sideways. Yeah, OT means that the baby's, you know, sideways. The head is down, but the baby is like facing your hip, one of your hips. I was so exhausted from the long labor that I wanted to get a C-section so badly, but my nurse gave me a pep talk and I went back to all of your pushing tips. Pushed for 2 hours and was able to turn baby through pushing and deliver baby by 6 a.m. Thankful for your course and gave practical that gave practical things to remember with each push. That is amazing. Wow, that is quite a long labor. Not, you know, definitely normal for a first-time mom, but yeah, I'm sure you were exhausted by the end of it. All right, if you want to check out the course that this mom took, she took Birth It Up, the epidural. I think she took Birth It Up, the epidural series. So you can check out Birth It Up, the epidural series on our website at mommylabornurse.com. Just click on the epidural series. All right, let's get right back into this week's episode.
Okay, next question. About 1 in every 2,000 babies are born with what? It's a body part.
What? Like an extra body part?
Just, can't give you any clues. It's a body part. Well, yeah, it's a body part. It's a body part.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes. About 1 in every 2,000 babies are born with what body part? So maybe think about something that you maybe like normally have as an adult, but like babies don't have.
Oh,
I'm trying to give you clues.
Something that, kneecaps.
No, kneecaps? No, yeah. It's not kneecaps. No, it's teeth. A tooth.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They're called natal teeth. So about 1 in every 2,000 babies are born with teeth. They're called natal teeth. They're loose natal teeth. And sometimes they do need to be removed by a doctor. They can be painful for the mom during breastfeeding, obviously with a brand new baby. It's perfectly fine for older kids to breastfeed with teeth. And they can also be dangerous because there's a risk that they may be dislodged and swallowed or inhaled. So yeah. Some babies can be born with teeth. Isn't that crazy?
I think I've actually heard that before. Yeah. I just didn't think about that.
Okay. This one's going to be hard, but I don't know. Take a stab in the dark. What country?
All hard.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. I don't think you've gotten, no, you got the watermelon, right?
Yes.
All right. The next one is, what country has the highest C-section rate? And I'll tell you the rate. It's 50.4 per 100 live births. So about 50%.
Wow.
Yeah. What country? I'll give you a hint. It's in Europe.
Okay. In Europe. Wow. I'm going to say, I don't know, Italy?
No, it's Turkey, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who would have thought? I thought it would have been a South American country.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, same. But no, it's Turkey. It says Turkey has the highest percentage rate of babies born via C-section, 50.4 per 100 live births, which is pretty crazy. Now, second question to this question is, which country do you think has the lowest C-section rate? And it's also in Europe.
Oh, it's also in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. France.
No, it's not France. It is Iceland. Who knew?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for them.
Next question is, how many women in the United States receive infertility services in their lifetime? And I'll tell you that it is in the millions.
Okay. Let's go with 5 million.
Close. It's 7 million. And that is about 11.9% of women here in the United States have received infertility services in the United States in their lifetime.
Wow. Too many. Too many.
A lot. Yes. Agreed. Okay. How old is the average age that people have babies for the first time in the United States? What age do you think?
I know that it has changed over the years. Is there a certain time frame or just in general?
This source says 2014.
Okay.
So that wasn't that long ago.
More recently. 8 years ago. Let's say 27, 26.
Oh, close. It is 26.3.
Okay.
Very close. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Not bad.
Oh, okay. All right. Next question. What percentage of births This is United States. Yes. What percentage of births in the United States are water births?
Let's go with 12%.
Oh, you're so close. 10%.
10%.
Yeah.
You should give me like multiple choices because I feel like I would get a lot more right.
Yeah, I think you would have. Like, that would have made it easier. And yeah, I should have done that.
Whatever. Okay.
Whatever. That's fine. Yeah, it says there's been a rise in the number of water births in recent years. Just shy of 10% of all United States hospitals offer water immersion options for delivery.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
All right, so next question is about home birth. What percentage of people have home births out of all people that birth?
Let's see. Would it be higher or lower than a water birth? I think it'd be lower because you can do water birth, you know, anywhere. Let's do 7%.
Much lower than that. It's actually only 1.36% of all births are home births. Yeah,
wow.
It's rose from 1.26% recently. So now it's 1.36. But yeah, most babies are either born in hospitals or in birth centers here in the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
All right. Next question is a multiple choice question. Okay. Babies can do blank in the womb. A, suck their thumb. B, cry. C, urinate. Or D, all of the above.
All of the above.
No, I'm so bad at making questions to stump you. Yes, that's true. They can do all of those things. They can cry in the womb, which is crazy. Yeah, it says with the crying, we've seen crying on ultrasounds as early as 28 weeks, which is kind of crazy. But yeah, babies can suck their thumb, suck their fingers. They can play with their umbilical cord. They can urinate.
Yeah, interesting. I've always wondered, like, how can you not hear your baby crying in the womb?
It doesn't make any noise.
Oh, because the baby's in water?
No, it doesn't really make noise because like their lungs aren't really working yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But they can show, it's like they're crying, but they're showing like displeasure, like they're wincing.
Gotcha.
Almost. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So that brings us to the last question. And one of the answers on there was babies can urinate in the womb. Mm-hmm. So how much pee per day does a term baby pee inside of you?
Maybe like an ounce.
Much larger than that. It's actually up to a liter of pee.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what happens? They just drink it back down and then it just cycles through. That's how that works.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's not, you know, it doesn't smell like urine at all yet because it doesn't have any bacteria. It's totally like sterile. I mean, urine actually inside of like adults is also sterile. It's not sterile until it comes out of you and, you know, touches the air. But yeah, that's what happens. A lot of people don't realize that amniotic fluid is composed of baby pee.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's probably why a lot of women think they pee when it's amniotic fluid.
No.
Maybe, kind of.
No, that's a little bit of a separate issue, I think. Okay. But yeah, a lot of women are very surprised to know that, like, I mean, babies, yeah, their kidneys are starting to work and they're starting to pee inside of the womb. And that is, you know, what is composed of. That is what amniotic fluid is partially composed of.
Interesting. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And they can also poop in the womb at the end of, typically at the end of pregnancy.
Yeah, I knew that because of meconium.
Meconium. Yes, it's called meconium. And sometimes that can be stressful for babies. So we like to watch out if the amniotic fluid is like green tinged. But a lot of times it's not. And a lot of times, you know, just your baby's term and maybe you're a little bit overdue. It's very common with overdue babies and they poop inside the womb and it's not harmful at all.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That is it for this episode. Jenna, thanks for joining me. Nice, quick little fun trivia episode that we did on some facts. I'm pretty sure you got one correct, the watermelon one. So I'm sorry that I made it so hard.
And there was another one too, but I can't remember which one it was. Yeah. But I feel like I got a lot almost right, I'm happy with. So
you did.
It was fun.
You did. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the all of the above.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. Okay. You did get that one right. Technically. Yes. You did get that one right. Good job. Okay. Yes. So two out of, I don't know, 20, however many you just did.
Woohoo!
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us this week. We will see you next week. I'll see you back on the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast next week.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and letting me be a part of your motherhood journey. It is truly an honor. If you like what you heard, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And I love hearing what you guys think of the podcast. So if you're liking what you hear or you have a suggestion, I'd be so grateful if you'd go ahead and leave me a review wherever you're listening to help more mamas just like you find the show. What do you think? Are you starting to feel a little more confident about your pregnancy and birth? Well, if you want more, be sure to head on over to mommylabornurse.com/podcast for today's show notes and a library of episodes so you can keep getting educated before your upcoming birth. And while you're over there, be sure to check out the blog and learn about our online birth classes. Find it all and more over at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. See you next week, same time, same place. Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.